Hey guys, this is Gabe Andrade, the lead pastor of Tree of Life Church. Our vision is to lead people to become all-in followers of Jesus Christ. Our hope is that this podcast inspires you to grow deeper in your relationship with God and others. Enjoy this message.
I want you to look to someone. Just look at them. Just make them feel awkward for just a moment. Look at their eyes. Just look at them. They are an expression. They're an expression of God's love. As a matter of fact, look at your own children. Your children are an expression of your love. All creation is an expression of God's love. You and I have such a deep need to be loved. I have a little dog. Her name is Charlie. And she's such a loving dog. I mean, she doesn't get tired of me. My wife gets tired of me. I never get tired of my wife. No, I'm playing. But my dog is just so happy, right? So like lovable and loving. And when it comes to us as human beings, like, we have such a great capacity to receive love. We want genuine love. We want true love. We want to be loved. It's a need that we have. A baby is born into this world. I think it's amazing. I mean, obviously, the anatomy, the body needs a heartbeat for the blood and everything. But when you think about the heart, when we think of the heart, we think of love. I think it's beautiful that a baby, their heart starts beating 22 days or so, 21 days after conception, the heart of the baby starts beating. Or it's a lot faster, actually, when they're babies. If you hear the heartbeat of a baby, it's beautiful. I think it's amazing that God, the heartbeat starts, the heart develops before the brain does. Before anything else starts developing, the heart is intact. The Lord starts developing the heart first. And a baby can literally sense and feel love, but they can also feel rejection. The spirit and the soul of the baby, the body's not yet developed. The baby can tell, does mom and dad want me? We have such a high capacity for love. It's such a powerful, powerful force, but it's not just the force. The Bible says God is love. Love is so amazing. Now, as you, the more that you receive love, you need attention from your parents. You need love from family. You need support. You need it like you need air, like you need food, like you need shelter. Even above those things, you need love. You need honor and respect. You need someone to sacrifice for you. You need someone to give something up to make sure that you are valued. You need to feel valued. Your confidence, your self-esteem comes from someone loving you. Even your entire being comes into being because someone loves you to life. Like, if you don't love a child correctly, they will basically self-destruct in their thoughts. Like, if you leave a child to themselves, and if you convey a message to the child that you're not important, then the child will think, I'm not important, so my life doesn't matter. And then the child will grow into adult thinking, what's the point of life? Nothing matters. My life doesn't matter, so I could care less. So love is something that we all need. And we've all been loved imperfectly. Some have been loved better than others, but we've all been loved incorrectly in one way or another. It's not complete. None of us have been loved completely. None of us have, by another human being. Even the best of parents, even the best of people, can't love you completely. Does it make sense? So the type of love that we are very accustomed to is a transactional love. A transactional love is the type of love that says this: if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. If you're kind to me, I'll be kind to you. If you respect me, I'll respect you. It's transactional. That's how we do business. That's how we're consumers. We buy things and we exchange stuff. And so when our love is transactional, then we have this message: what have you done for me lately? You buy me a gift, I'll buy you a gift. You scratch my back, I'll massage your toes. It's what can I get from you? What can you get from me? It's a give and take, but it's very transactional. And the problem with this type of love is that it has conditions based on circumstances, based on what am I going to get out of it? And that's how we deal with people. Transactional love. And it's a very limited love. And it's not complete. It's not perfect. It's actually human love. And the issue with this is that every single one of us, we want someone to love us even though it's messy. I want somebody to love me even though I'm a little crazy. You see what I'm saying? Because when you're meeting somebody, you're not crazy yet. You're really doing a good job hiding it. When you're dating, you're not cuckoo. You're not messy. You took a shower. You brushed your teeth. You flossed. You had gum in your pocket. You didn't show that side, that imperfect side, that hormonal side. You were on your best behavior. You act like you like everything about your partner, your significant other, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You acted like, you know what? And I'm not using partner like the way you're thinking I'm using it. I'm just saying, your mate. Okay, but the point is that once they start seeing that you have some issues, that you have a past, that you have abandonment issues, that maybe you're psycho jealous, you're insecure, that you're afraid to be left alone. Everybody wants to be loved there. Everybody wants to be loved even though you're sick. Like, can you still love me if I'm not healthy? Are you just going to love me when I'm young? Can you love me when I get old? Like, we want that. Can you love me on my best days and my bad days? Are you just going to leave because it's hard? Can you love me when it's difficult? Can you love me when I'm going through hardship? Can you love me when I'm in the middle of a storm right now? Can you still love me? Or is it transactional? Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, he blows people away because he talks about transactional love. In the Sermon on the Mount, this is a famous sermon. This is the longest sermon recorded in Scripture of Jesus Christ. And this is just a portion of it. Kiddos, I can hear you whispering, please. Okay, so Matthew chapter 5, 43, and I know it's not the whisper of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 5, 43. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." That's the law. That's transactional love. But Jesus says, "I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Now, this is crazy. Love your enemies. Now, their enemies were the Roman Empire, the soldiers. Their enemies were people that were literally hostile towards him. Like, he's saying, pray for the person who could potentially kill your loved one. Love the person who's throwing you in jail because of false accusations. Now, I want you to just think about that. He's saying, what I want to challenge you on is this: there is a love that's greater than what you've ever experienced. He says, love the people that hit you in the face. Okay, now Jesus is speaking about what he's about to go through. Like, Jesus was persecuted, he was mistreated, he was beaten, he was spit on, and he still loved every single soldier that did that to him. Can you imagine? Jesus loved the people that were whipping him, that were tearing his back apart. He loved them. And he prayed for them. Can we do that? We don't even love the cop who gave us a ticket. We're just like, stupid. Ah, don't use that word, kids. We can't even love someone who gives us a parking ticket, $15 ticket or whatever, $75. We're just like, we lose it. That's transactional love. But Jesus is introducing his love, God's love, and it's a powerful love. So the next verse says this. Let's go back to the other one because it goes together. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. Like, it's literal. The sun rises on everyone. It's literal. Let's not over-spiritualize that. Okay? I'm still reading that scripture. Oh, yeah. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He blesses both. It's called general grace. He blesses everyone with sun and rain and natural resources. If you have oxygen, that's a blessing. We're all blessed with oxygen. We're all blessed with air. For if you love those who love you, this is it, the transactional love. What reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Tax collectors were considered criminals that were getting away with the crime because they were overly taxing people. We still have tax collectors. And if you greet only your brothers, to greet, to bless, to embrace, if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Jesus is saying, that's easy. Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Basically, Gentiles, non-Jews, they were considered outsiders. Now, this is it right here. Read this with me loud. One more time. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Perfect in what? Perfect in what? Perfect in love. He's saying that there is a perfect love that is not transactional. There is a perfect love that's not, you do this, I do that, conditional. It's not that. There is a perfect love. And so when we are loved perfectly, we become perfected. So instead of us being so transactional in our love, my desire for every single person that I'm in community with, that I know, that seeks to know Jesus and to be known by him, is that we have a transformational love. Transformational love. Transformational. Transformational. A transformational love is exactly what I was talking about. Even though I'm unlovable, God still loves me. Even though I'm unaware of his amazing, awesome love, he still loves me. Even though I have turned my back on God, he still loves me. Even when I have nothing to give, even when I'm ungrateful, even though I complain more than I should, God still loves me. I like what Romans, I'm just going to read a few scriptures that unveil this in Romans chapter 5. Read this with me. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person would one dare even to die. Like, you might die for someone that's righteous or someone's good. So you might love somebody that much, like your family or your kids. But look what the Lord says. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, he died for you and I. Now, every single one of us needs to be transformed. I need to be transformed. Your kids need to be transformed. Every single person needs change in their lives. They all do. We all need change. Now, I can encourage you and persuade you, and I can be like, throw the law at you and tell you how wrong you are and how much of a sinner you are. And I can do that and convict you with the law and throw the letter of the law at you that really the Bible says it arouses sin anyway. In other words, if I keep pointing out how bad you are, you'll think that you're bad because apart from Jesus Christ, we are. But either you'll become really religious or you'll just become more of the same. You'll just be a good sinner. The point is this. When you understand how much God loves you and your eyes really open to that, when you have that revelation, that understanding of how much God loves you, it'll overwhelm you. It'll overwhelm you. I'm asking and I'm praying for God to reveal his love to you. Because you could be a part of God's family and not feel like his family, like you're a part. It's like the adopted child. He was left by his parents. He has a new family, but yet he still feels like he doesn't belong. And his family, his new family, they're providing for him. They're protecting him. They're showering him with love. They're giving him attention. But if that child doesn't receive the revelation, even in that scenario of they love me just because they want to, if the child doesn't open his or her heart to the love, she'll reject the very thing that is given. And I think that we do the same. There are people that come within the body of Christ, within the church, and if they have not yet received the revelation that God loves you with a transformational love, that he loves you more than what you can fathom and what you can think, and he loves you more than you can love him, and he loves you more than you love others, like if you can just open your eyes to that, to see that, it'll transform your life. Instead of feeling like you don't belong, you'll know that, man, I belong. He calls me his own. He calls me daughter. He calls me son. He calls me by his name. He's my father. Like when you get that revelation, it just opens your eyes. And it transforms you. Transforms you. Paul, in the Bible, Paul, he was not someone to be impressed by. In the Bible, Paul was not a famous theologian that everyone wanted to be like. Paul was not attractive when it comes to his lifestyle. Paul didn't have a mansion. Paul didn't have the best of the best stuff. He was very smart, very educated. But Paul suffered. He suffered tremendously. The Bible says he was beaten so bad. Can you imagine if I was beaten so bad as your pastor, right? I was beaten so bad that everyone thought I was dead. And then I come up here and I'm all beat up and I'm like, be like me as I'm like Christ. You'd be like, I don't want to be beaten. Paul was stoned. Can you imagine if I was stoned because I was declaring the gospel, people were throwing rocks at me, and I came up here and I had these big old like bumps on my head, and they're like, Pastor, what happened to you? I was stoned. Be imitators of me as I follow Jesus. He'd be like, I don't want to be stoned. Okay, now just imagine this. Just imagine that someone comes up here and they read a letter from me to you, and I can't be here in person because I'm in prison. And I'm basically encouraging you to continue to follow Jesus, and I say, hey, be an imitator of me as I'm an imitator of Jesus. And I'm in prison. Would you want to be like me? You'd be like, I don't want to go to prison. That's Paul. That's Paul. And while he was suffering, he knew that his time was short. Like, he knew he was going to be executed. He had the death penalty on his life. And the one thing he wanted you to know, and the person that he wanted you to know more than anything and everything, was Jesus. But he wanted you to understand how much he loves you. Think about that. Think about that. His life doesn't look amazing. He doesn't look successful. He doesn't look wealthy. Like, he's in need. He's in prison. And he's saying, oh, how God loves me so much. God loves me so much. I want you to know how much God loves you. He loves you. And you're on the outside looking in like, how does God love you? You're in prison. How does God love you? You've been beaten. How does God love you? And Paul's like, this love has nothing to do with external circumstances. This love has nothing to do with this life here and now. This love is not transactional. This love is not temporary. He's saying this love is eternal. He's saying, I'm just here for you. But for me, like, I wrestle. I'd rather die to be with the Lord because I want to know him more. Like, Paul's saying, for me, it's a struggle for me to be here, not because I'm suffering. It's because I'd rather just be with Jesus. To live as Christ and to die as gain. Like, this is Paul, overwhelmed with God's love, and he wants you to know his love. So in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. Like, he bows. He's praying before the Father. He bows his knees. From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, is created. Every person comes from him. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Just leave it right there. Every single one of you needs strength right now. You need strength in your inner being by God's Spirit. You need strength to endure. You need strength to believe. You need strength to trust. You need strength to see God in the middle of the chaos. You need inner strength to have peace. You need inner strength to believe that God loves you, even though everything around you doesn't look that way. You need inner strength to believe that there is hope. You need inner strength to believe that God is with you, even though you don't sense his presence. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You need inner strength to have faith that nothing is impossible with God. You need inner strength to see what God wants you to seek. You need inner strength to become more like Jesus. You need inner strength. There's an inner man that every single person has. I have an inner man, inner strength. I need the power of the Spirit right now to be a parent, to be an employee. I need inner strength right now to endure my inner being. But Paul's saying, you need to believe that God loves you right now. That you're worth loving. See, here's the way God loves. God loves like he's never been hurt. It's difficult to love someone who's hurt you. He says, I want you to be strengthened in your inner being with love, God's love, so that, the next verse, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I'm reading this slow because we read past this and it's so rich. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. I need inner strength. I need to believe that God loves me. You may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and depth. And to know the love of Christ. See, I want this for us, church. I want us to know the love of Christ. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That you and I may be filled with all the fullness of God. His Spirit dwells within us. You don't have... you have the fullness of God available to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now verse 20 says this. Read this with me. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To Him be glory, where? Which is us. And in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Right now, you're being tested. Or, right now, if you want to quit, you know what you want to quit doing? You want to quit loving. What gets hard is love. When I see a person loving a baby, that's amazing. Because the baby can't do anything for themselves. A baby can't help. They're helpless. When I see a person helping an adult that is special needs or handicap, that's amazing. Because that love is different. God sees us as a bunch of handicapped, hurt, broken, messed up. Can't get it right. Defected, damaged. He sees us all as people that are in need of transformative love. And Paul knew it. And Paul's like, I need you to understand how much He loves you. And Paul says, just because I'm going through this difficulty, just because of all the suffering that I've endured, it doesn't mean He doesn't love me. He still loves me. Romans 8:31 says this. And this is Paul, once again, the Apostle Paul. He says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? He's saying, if the Father sent His Son to die in our place and gave His Son, won't He give us all things? Read this with me. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. He's praying for us. Read this with me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Can anything separate us For your sake, he starts quoting this, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughtered. He's saying, for your sake, we're being persecuted. But it doesn't mean God doesn't love us. He says, no. People quote this for all different reasons. This scripture is quoted for us to win games in a football game or something. But this is about suffering. This is about tribulation. This is about hard stuff. He says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Like, if you can say that in the middle of the chaos, if you can say that when your loved one passes away, if you can say that when things don't go your way, if you can say that I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, that I'm going to get through this because God is with me, and no matter what, he loves me because I have that understanding. I have that understanding that God loves me. Even if a person doesn't love me, God still loves me. For I am sure, this is powerful, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you know that God loves you? He loves you more than anyone could ever love you. His love is transformative. You get into trouble trying to receive that type of love from a person when you have not yet received it from God. Make sense? I can't expect someone to love me, give me transformational love, give me transformational love, if you haven't received it from God. No one can satisfy you like he can. I'm telling you, I am very transactional with my love, more than I realize. So I'm asking God, reveal your love to me in a greater way so that I can give transformational love to my wife, to my children, and the world. By this, the world will know that you are my disciples, by the way that you love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. That's what Jesus said. So I want to invite you to stand with me. I want to sing, I Just Love You. Instead of you wanting someone to satisfy that void that you have in your heart, because we all have it, allow God to reveal his love to you. Turn your affection towards God. I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I am the follower of Christ that he wants me to be when I'm loved. But if I'm lacking that, then I'll become needy of others. I'll become like, please make me feel loved. Please make me feel wanted. Please make me feel accepted. Please make me feel important. But when God says I'm important, when God says I'm loved, when God says you're accepted, when God says you're special, you're one of a kind, when God says, I love you, I can settle down. And I can truly love without motives. I can love the way he loves. That's what I want for you. I want you to experience his love. Father, I pray that every person who received this divine revelation, this understanding, that they are loved by you, that it's an unconditional, complete, perfect, never-ending love. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing to God, and we're just going to tell him we love him, because we do. Just let Him love you. Let Him love you.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing this message with friends and family. For more information, visit our website, treeoflife.church, or across social media at Tree of Life Church. See you next week.